Folks, if you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7? We've got 2 weeks remaining here in this Sermon on the Mount series. Today we're going to be covering a variety of verses 15 through 23, specifically in this chapter, but I'm also going to be looking at several different passages of the scriptures. So if you have your Bible, get ready to move around a little bit. If you don't have a Bible on you, we do have some in the pew. If you do not own a Bible, you are welcome to take that pew Bible home with you. As we prepare to read from the Word of God, I want to pray to start this message. So would you join me here this morning as we go to the Lord? Father, we thank you for this time here in the Word of God. This is your voice speaking to us. Help us, Lord, to have a heart that is ready to receive from you. Lord, I'm asking for your Spirit to guide us and lead us. And Lord, that you would use me, that I would be a vessel, a mouthpiece for what it is that you want to say today. And so I'm asking for your grace and your guidance. Lord, we pray for our children's ministry. We ask for a blessing upon their time learning about Christ, learning your word. Please bless those that are leading. May your Spirit be with them in a special way today as well. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship together. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Folks, would you please stand as I read this passage here this morning, Matthew 7, verses 15 through 23. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way that they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" You may be seated. There's basically 3 points with this message today, and then the scriptures that surround that will emphasize those points. In this Sermon on the Mount, one of the things we've seen kind of happening over this series is Jesus is picking away at the Pharisees, these religious leaders who had a false religion. And one of the things he, right out the gate, starts with is a warning about false prophets. And so one of the things I want to emphasize here is that everyone produces fruit in their life. Everyone that's listening to my voice, you produce fruit in your life. The difference comes down to whether or not it's good or bad fruit. You are a fruit producer. And Jesus is pointing out that there's these false prophets, and even go on to describe what a false disciple looks like, and we'll get to that in a moment. But the difference between a false prophet and a true prophet, you can identify them by their fruit. When you consider whether or not I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, you can evaluate the fruit in your life. What does good fruit and bad fruit look like? And here's where I'm going to jump to another passage, because I think we get a little glimpse of this in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul is really working out the difference between what it looks like to live in a fleshy kind of way that satisfies and gratifies the desires of the flesh, and then living a life that is full of the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 5, starting in verse 19, the Apostle Paul says that the acts of flesh, they're obvious. Things like sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I think we have a very clear picture of some bad fruit right there in those verses. Let's look at the good fruit. He goes on to say that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. So if you're someone that's producing good fruit, we've got some description of what good fruit looks like. For those who are producing good fruit, you see these qualities. And with time, your fruit will always show what's going on in your heart. You can pretend that you're a good fruit producer, but if your heart is not truly redeemed by the Spirit of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still producing bad fruit. You talk about the selfish ambition. I think that drives a lot of the bad fruit. Do you agree with that? Pride. Pride is that driving force to make those selfish decisions. The list that I just gave you, that all comes from that place of pride. And I love this quote by F.B. Meyer. He says, in Christian service, the branches that bear the most fruit hang the lowest. And I see a picture of humility. That's one aspect of someone who produces good fruit, is someone who is humble. And think of the people that Jesus was calling out with this particular passage. It was the prideful, self-righteous religious leaders. And we've read a number of verses that talk about the way of the kingdom and the humility of Christian life. And I consider all of the things that Jesus is talking about here, and he says, any branch that produces bad fruit, cut off and thrown out. I feel like in our area, we've had a number of trees that have died. Anybody cutting down any trees in the last year, right? And what are they good for after they're cut down? Burning. That's about the only purpose they serve. That's a very serious thought when you consider what God is trying to say here. God will throw out the bad fruit and limbs. But here's the good news. He prunes the branches that are connected to the vine. If you go to John 15, we're going to camp out here for a little bit. I think this is a very good fruit-producing passage. Jesus speaking here, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that produces no fruit. That's called sanctification. While every branch that does produce fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. Now, verse 4, No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, if you're connected to the vine, are you going to be producing bad fruit? No. So when Jesus is saying you want to produce good fruit, you got to be connected to the vine. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. You see Jesus emphasizing that yet once again. Verse 8, he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then jump to verse 16. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. You see the point. Driving this home with other passages here. In chapter 7, verse 20 of our passage today, Jesus says, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. The fruit that they're producing, whether or not they're a false prophet or a false disciple, or they're a true prophet or a true disciple, you can look at their fruit. And Jesus says that if you're connected to me, it's something that glorifies God when you produce fruit. And not just a few berries here and there. Jesus says it's for the glory of God that you produce much fruit. Much fruit. In 1 John 3, verse 6, it says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. And no one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. So if I claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, there's some fruit that needs to accompany that claim, if I'm truly one of his disciples. And if I continue on in the ways of the world and in my sin, the Bible clearly says, you don't know Jesus. You don't truly know him. And that's my second point here with this message today, is that true disciples, they know Jesus. Jesus just drilled down the point that if you're connected to me, if you remain in me, you will produce fruit. The only way we can truly produce fruit is if we're in Christ. The only way you're a true disciple is if you know Jesus. And then he begins to break down some of these really heavy verses about doing the will of God. And then he even says at the end, when all these people think they've done all this religious stuff, and then Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Folks, there's a huge difference between religion and relationship. Amen? There's a lot of people in our world that are stuck in the track of religion. I remember being on the playground in Manson with my son Judah, and there was another parent, and they had some kids there, and they were playing. And, you know, there's a certain point in conversation with parents that you get to the, so what do you do for a living? And sometimes as a pastor, that can make the conversation get real awkward real fast. Oh, you're a pastor. Okay. Folks, let's go to the next slide or whatever, you know. So as we're standing there, basically, it's almost like as soon as I brought that forward, the other parent said, you know, I'm not very religious. And I was like, yeah, neither am I. Because it's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion is, I've got all these rules and regulations and things that you need to do in order to earn God's favor. But God's favor comes when he sent his son Jesus to live that perfect life that you and I can't. And he gave his life so that you and I could be set free. John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's what it looks like, a relationship to know God. The Apostle Paul, I feel, has a bit of a testimony in regards to religion versus relationship. He was a very religious man. And when Jesus died and was raised to new life, and you've got all these followers of Jesus that are preaching the gospel, he was one of those religious leaders, one of those Jews that was like, I have got to stop this. And the reason why he felt motivated in that way was his devout religious background. His eyes were not yet open to the reality of Jesus Christ. But I preached this just a couple of weeks ago, that his life was transformed and he came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He knows him. And so in Philippians chapter 3, if you want to go there, you can see the Apostle Paul lay out his credentials as a religious man, and then it's like he crumples it all up in a ball and like throws it off to the side. So in Philippians 3, starting in verse 4, he says, if someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, he goes, I have more. It's almost like he's puffing out his chest just for a moment to then prove a point about knowing Jesus over religion. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. He says, of the people of Israel, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I'm a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. But then he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. He says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's like, all this stuff, whew, it's gone, because the only thing that matters is my relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, I consider it to be garbage. Other translations use rubbish, or the word there being dung. All those worldly things are trash, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And then here's this summary verse. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection of the dead. True disciples know Jesus. He was one of those religious leaders, but he encountered the living God. John the Baptist, he had some words for the religious elite. You're welcome to go with me to Matthew 3. But as he was doing these baptisms and calling people to repent and preparing the way for the Lord, in Matthew 3, verses 1 through 8, you see this message of repentance that he's calling for. It says in verse 5, people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And then there were these religious people. Look at verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, look at what he says. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? He was calling them out. And this is what he says. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. A true disciple encounters the living God in a relationship with Jesus Christ. How do I receive Jesus? Well, you recognize that you're a sinner. And that word repent means I'm going to change. And so your life changes. You become a follower of Jesus. And with these words that John the Baptist said to the religious leaders, there's application in that for everyone who knows Jesus. Produce fruit in keeping with that change that you've made in your life. True disciples know Jesus. And my third point here, kind of combining those other two points, is those who know Jesus produce good fruit. You can't argue that. It's going to happen in your life. You cannot have the God of all creation living in you without some kind of change going on in your life. He produces fruit in our lives. So as you're evaluating your own life, questions like, do I know Jesus? Do I produce good fruit? I pray the Holy Spirit is walking us through this. You know, one of the most sobering verses in all of the Bible is Matthew 7:21. How many of you have this hanging in your living room? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And you think of the countless people who punch the card of all the religious things. They sing the songs, they pray the prayers, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And so when they stand before him, they're going to hear those scary words. Depart from me, I never knew you. So one question that sometimes gets asked is, how do I know what the will of God is? I want to do what that verse is encouraging me to do. I want to do the will of God. How do I do that? I'm so glad you asked. I will walk you through that now. There's some decisions that you need to make. The first place, the first point of walking in the will of God is beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship? Do you know Jesus? That's step one to walking in the will of God. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? The second aspect of living in the will of God, I'm going to pull the next two points from Romans chapter 12. These are like power verses as I'm driving home the points of this message. In conclusion, Romans 12 verses 1 through 2. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. So decision number two, after you've decided to follow Jesus, is then you say, I offer my entire life for service to the Lord. That's step two, to walking in the will of God. He says it clearly in the scriptures. He says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That means I'm no longer going to participate in the things that aren't holy and aren't pleasing to God. That means I got to say no to a lot of the things in the world that God isn't pleased with. And in case we didn't get that point, the very next sentence says, don't conform to the pattern of the world. Instead, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so the last decision is we need to renew our mind. We need to renew our mind. How do we renew our mind? We turn on the TV and watch the morning news? Absolutely not. We go to coffee at the local establishment and talk through all the problems of the world. Is that how we renew our mind? No, we go to Facebook and we scroll through. And we're just filled with all the joy that happens on Facebook. We renew. No! How do you renew your mind? Through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. God begins to do a work in us, changing the way that we think. We no longer think like we used to when we were a part of the world. We think as people who have the mind of Christ. We renew our mind. You want to walk in the will of God, receive Christ, offer your life as a sacrifice to the Lord. Lord, do whatever you want in my life. And as you walk forward in that way, renew your mind with the power of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 1, it says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. And then there's a number of categories here and ways in which you please the Lord. The first category in verse 10 is bearing fruit in every good work. We've come full circle. D.L. Moody says, I never saw a fruit-bearing Christian who was not a student of the Bible. Folks, this is how you stay connected to the vine that helps you produce fruit. Turn the noise of the world down and feed off of the Word of God that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Do you know Jesus? Have you offered your life as a living sacrifice? And are you renewing your mind? As you do these things, you will produce the good fruit that demonstrates that you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ and that you know Him. Are you ready to produce good fruit? That wasn't very convincing. Folks, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Are you ready to produce good fruit?
Yes.
I share this over you from Jeremiah 17. The Bible says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Would you pray with me as we close? Father, I thank You for this message today. Through the seriousness of Your words, You search our hearts. Do we know You? And are we producing fruit? And Lord, for everyone that is listening right now, as the Spirit of God is speaking to you, my question to you is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? If you cannot answer that with a very clear, yes, I do, I'm telling you right now, you need to get your life right before God Almighty. Do not get to that point where you think, well, I'll do it later. Maybe if I'm lucky enough, I'll do it on my deathbed. You have no idea when you'll take your last breath. And when you stand before your Creator, I want you to know Jesus. I don't want you to hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." This is a strong warning from the Lord. And He loves you so much, He desires a relationship with you. And He sent the answer to your sin. He sent Jesus to redeem you. And if you desire to enter into that relationship today, I encourage you to pray with me right now. Right now in your heart, and just say, "Jesus, I want to know you. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. So today I'm asking for your forgiveness. Today I repent. Help me to change my ways. And help me to walk in this relationship with you. I receive Jesus. I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide and lead my life. I receive this salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Help me to live out this relationship from this day forward." Lord, for all of us, help us to be people who truly offer our lives to you in every aspect. Let us not hold certain things back. Let us give it all to you. Offer it all. And Lord, as we do so, help us all to be people who are growing in godly wisdom and knowledge as we spend time with you in the Word of God. Lord, from there, an outflow supernaturally is good fruit. I pray that every believer that is listening to my voice would be producing good fruit. Lord, help us to do so by your power and by your grace. Pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.